How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of The Sean and Matt Show. My name is Matt, that is Sean, and welcome to our show. Sean, in today's episode, we're going to be talking about Redfin CEO saying that the real estate market has hit rock bottom.
Rock bottom.
Such an interesting thing for a publicly traded real estate company to say.
Yeah.
Hey, the market's hit rock bottom. Because if I'm a buyer, I'm like, holy crap, like, why would I buy a house if it's hit rock? Like, why is this CEO saying? And it was on Yahoo Finance, and so I went to the comment section. The comments of Yahoo Finance are always just a show. I don't know who is commenting on Yahoo Finance, but one of them said, oh, he's saying this to so you can buy a house, so you should buy a house. Like, I don't...
He's like pushing people.
You know, I listened to the interview, I think it was on Squawk Box, MSNBC, what fill-in, whatever, you know, talking head show. It didn't sound like he was saying to buy a house. Essentially, what Glenn Kelman, who's, by the way, a very smart guy. He's the CEO of a publicly traded real estate company. Of course, he's a very smart guy. He said, overall economic conditions for buying a house are rough. The issue is that the correction hasn't been a correction. Prices are up 5%, and that's because interest rates rose so fast this time, and there hasn't been a correction. It's different than 2008 when prices dropped between 30% and 50%. So, Sean, when you hear real estate, the housing market has hit rock bottom, and you hear the Redfin CEO say that, what goes through your head?
Typically, when I hear rock bottom, I'm thinking price. I'm like thinking that prices have hit rock bottom. Now's the time to jump in. And I think that's what a lot of people are thinking. Oh, Redfin is saying, the CEO is saying that it's hit rock bottom. Now's your time to buy. Jump in, hurry up, kind of thing, right? Because it's only going to go up from here. But if you read the article, I don't think that's actually what he's saying.
Not price.
It's not price. What he's talking about is the amount of people moving. So that has hit rock bottom. The amount of people that are actually making a move this year in the United States, he said somewhere around 4 million, which is the lowest that we've seen in a long time, if not, I don't know how long.
So I have a graph up right now if you're watching on YouTube. By the way, I'll actually include it this time unlike last episode. So 2023, we had about 4 million people move. In 2021, these are existing homes sold in the United States. 2021, over 6 million. 2023, only 4 million. And it looks like 2024 is on track for 4 and change. But to reach these levels of like a little over 4, we have to go all the way back to that the kind of 2009, 2010, 2011 timeframe, where just a couple of years ago, we were consistently seeing over 5 million houses sold in the United States, you know, dating back from, say, 2013 all the way up to 2022.
Right. So the lower, and that had to do with a totally different reason for, you know, the housing market crash back in 2008. That caused a lot of fewer moves. Now, this is all brought on by high interest rates, high unaffordability. People not willing to move because they're not going to move from a 3% to a 7% interest rate. We were all expecting interest rates to go down. This is what people predict, and that's why you can't go on predictions, because markets change all the time, and we're actually seeing interest rates kind of hover around that 7%, into the sevens now. And I think last week we did a show on, will they reach 10%? You know, and this is the question. No one really knows what's happening. So right now, rock bottom means we're not seeing a ton of movement in the market. And so what's that do? Very low inventory. And a lot of people, the funny thing is, in this area, you can't really see that, right? Like, our area is totally different. We've always been different than nationally. And Glenn Kelman's talking nationally. We locally are low on inventory.
Northern Virginia, D.C.
Northern Virginia, D.C., and Maryland. We have less inventory, we have more buyers, and we're still seeing competition. That said, this week for me was a little bit slower. You know, I think probably because I just put in on all of my listings in the last 5 weeks and it's just been mayhem. But this week I got a little bit of breath, and we did put on two listings this week. One got multiple contracts, a condo. The other condo got no contracts. So you kind of see condo market totally different from the housing market, like we always say in this area. But we're seeing less movement. And so what is going to happen here from here on out?
You had mentioned people have 3%. They don't want to move up to 7%. Reminds me of this article that just came out today on Realtor.com. I couldn't give up my 2.65% mortgage. why this couple decided to rent out rather than sell their old home. We're not going to go into the article. It's about a lovely couple, you know, super cute house. And if I skip down to the article, it says, oh, Chris's townhouse brings in $3,200 a month, which is more than the mortgage, which is $1,700 a month. Yeah, so I think I understand why this couple decided to rent out their old house
rather than
selling their 2.65 mortgage. It had, okay, so obviously the 2.65 mortgage got you that $1,700, you know, dollar a month price point, but it obviously means that they're getting $3,200 a month. Yeah, of course, it would be stupid to sell that thing.
It would be stupid. Now, the thing is that you've got to think on the other side is people want to move. Sometimes they're not looking for cash flow. They're looking to reduce their costs. So if they were to move and sell this, they would lose out on $1,600, $1,500 of cash flow, which is immense. That's amazing if they can actually do that. $1,500 a month income. So that helps then pay for their rent, which is amazing. It's supplementing their rent. Now, here's the other situation, though. If they wanted to purchase another home, that's what most people do. They sell that asset that has a lot of equity. But now the difference is that equity is tied to a 2.65% interest rate, which is so low, and we might never see those again. So do you get rid of that thing? That's the tough thing. Now that we have the knowledge and saying, oh, well, 7%, do we want to move and sell my house? Like me personally, if I was going to sell my house right now and move in Arlington, I just wouldn't do it. You know, it doesn't make financial sense for me to sell my house and move somewhere else in Arlington, even if I'm downsizing, because even if I'm downsizing, my payment's still going to be pretty close to the same because of the high interest rates. So that's what's holding everybody up and holding everybody in a state where they don't want to sell. And that's why we have hit rock bottom in the amount of people that are actually moving.
Well, these people in the article, they would essentially need a down payment. Like if the only reason they would sell is if they needed that, the proceeds, right? For the next property.
Correct.
So I have these, call them dumb idea. Just like, in a hypothetical make-believe world where this would never actually happen, how would this look? Like, you ever play this game of, like, here's a scenario that would never happen. So the scenario that would never happen is, like, all right, how can we fix the housing market? Yeah, little old Matt Layton, realtor in Arlington, is going to fix the housing market. So I thought to myself, what if, and again, this is a make-believe world where no idea is stupid, except for the one I'm about to say.
Yeah, no, let's
what if you absolutely had to have at least 20% down to buy a property?
Okay.
What would that look like? How would that impact the real estate market? Again, not suggesting we ever do this, but I had a little conversation with ChatGPT, who will always say how nice you are. And they were like, yeah, this is a terrible idea.
Hmm.
Like, you shouldn't do this. But I was thinking, okay, well, if you can only put down at least 20%, then that's going to limit the amount of people that can buy a property, right? So that's going to limit the buyer pool, which will alleviate prices a little bit, right? And then it will prevent possibly people from going into short sales or foreclosures if they were to put down 5% or 10%. But ChatGPT, who is much smarter than me, gave me a laundry list of cons that went along with that. But I was just thinking, hey, maybe this is an idea. And then ChatGPT said, no, you're an idiot.
Well, the thing you have to think about is 20% down is a lot of money for some houses, but that is what is needed sometimes to make it affordable. That's why people are putting that much down. It's not just because they have to. It's because they have to make their finances make sense. And that's the reason if this couple that's renting out and has $1,500 of equity or $1,500 of rolling income every month, that's the only reason they would sell, is because they need to take that equity in order to afford their next purchase at 7.65%. So maybe it does make sense for them to just rent and find a cheaper rental and just be like, hey man, I'm making money, save that money every month, put it into the stock account, stock proceeds or whatever, because we're seeing some increases in stocks and there's good investments. And you can put that money into an account right now that's gonna gain you 6%. Like, that's the difference. Right now, yes, it's expensive to have to pay for a mortgage at 7.whatever%, but a bank account, some bank accounts are paying you over 6% per month. So if you're just banking money and putting it in and putting it in, you're going to gain 6% on that money. And so think about that. Think about what is best for you in your life. I mean, you don't always have to go from selling a house to buying a house. You could go from holding a house to renting a house and just holding off.
Let us know your thoughts in the comment section down below. Yes, you heard that correctly. A real estate agent saying that maybe you should consider renting as opposed to always buying, always selling, always transacting. All right, Sean, let's move on to our next topic. This comes to us from the Echo Title Nova Real Estate Talk Facebook group. Shout out Echo Title, an unrepresented, unaffiliated title company here in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area. A contributor asked, what do you do if you have a client that does not want certain agents to show the property? How do you explain that to an agent that wants to show it? Sean, have you ever come across this scenario? And there's been like 20 comments on it. And someone even said, hey, I have the same question. I have a seller who gave me three individual realtors and a whole brokerage that she didn't want to set foot in her house.
I've honestly never heard this.
And you've been doing this for 20 years.
I have never heard of somebody saying, hey, I don't want this company to even bring a realtor in, to bring clients in to sell the house. Now that's saying something.
But you can imagine it's reasonable. Like people get, you know, bad experiences all the time with agents. And
sure,
if it was an individual, if it was a company, you know, whether it's a 5-person or, you know, 500-person company, I mean, I boycotted like Nando's Peri Peri because they wouldn't accept a vertical ID that said I was over 21. Like people have like crazy like reasons to boycott. Like, hey, I don't want this agent. I don't want this brokerage. I don't want XYZ realtor showing me the house.
It's totally understandable. You can see how they get. Well, the thing is, there are some companies out there, not naming any names, but there are out there for. Yeah, they're not the warm and fuzzy realtors. You know, they're out there for a mission, and their mission is one way. It's transaction, transaction, transaction. I don't care about you. Give me the money. Give me the money. We've seen it. We've all seen it. And unfortunately, it exists. And that gives us all a bad name. And so you can understand on that regard why somebody wouldn't want those particular agents or that company to come through their house. What do you do in this instance? I mean, ethically, can we do anything about that? Legally, is this discrimination? You know what I mean? Like,
what are they discriminating on? They're not discriminating on anything.
Okay, well, that's the question I have. Are they discriminating on anything that would get them in trouble as far as an agent goes representing a client?
Some people called in or messaged and said, for example, years ago, my ex's new wife didn't want me to show the property. The listing broker called my broker. My broker told me I had no problem with it. Now, the thing is, Northern Virginia, you got like 30,000 real estate agents. So the likelihood that, you know, with three specific agents are going to be touring your properties, probably not high. But the contributor goes on to say it's not based off anything but prior interaction with several agents from one office. So he has banned anyone from that office. He doesn't like the broker. Problem is, house is in a very small town and they are the largest brokerage in that town. It might just be that the brokerage runs the town. And if you blacklist the brokerage, guess what? Now you're blacklisted your house.
Yeah.
And so you may not get the best price that you're asking for.
Exactly. Well, this is why reputation is so big in our industry. And if you can't go on a good reputation and you're trying to use sneaky tactics and you're using, you know, these sales tactics that all these people get sucked into. I got to be honest, like I hate sales tactics. I like scripts. I like learning scripts, but not using them to a totality of my business or using these sales tactics to disparage somebody else. And that's a lot of times what some of these sales tactics do and some of these agencies do is they disparage other agents and other clients and other people in the areas. And that's why they get a bad reputation. And let me tell you, it's really hard to get rid of a bad reputation. It follows you for a long time. So in my opinion, you know, use good tactics, be a good person, treat people fairly, you know, try to get as many people into your house as possible. I understand, and I don't know their gripe. I don't know why they're doing this, and that would be helpful to see that, right? But honestly, I've never run into this. Have you had any clients?
No, but Sean, you said you used to flip houses. Like imagine if you had a business partner or a former business partner who kind of did you dirty, forced you to lose a lot of money or something like that. And then, you know, they want to show your house or they have a buyer. You'd be like, okay, well, this individual has already lost me like I'm just making numbers up, like $100,000 in the past. And I hate their guts. I don't want them coming into my house.
Yeah. This is a very interesting topic because I've never thought about it in that way. And I've never had a listing side say, I don't want these people coming in, this agency. So this is new for me. And I can see why. And you're right. I mean, if they have caused you grief or treated you bad in the past, well, you know what? That all comes full circle at some point. And, you know, maybe that's all catching up to them.
I respect it. Probably not going to get, you know, a great sales price. I don't know if you start saying agents, you know, especially the top brokerage in your area can't list it. But, you know, in these small towns, the top brokerage, oftentimes it's their way or the highway.
Yeah.
And if their way is like a slimy way, then that catches up to you.
Yeah. And that's what I was saying about monopolies last week, 2 weeks ago. You know, when there's monopolies like that and they people feel like they can't use anybody else, they start feeling, you know, slighted in some ways. And so like, you know what, I'm going to go for the underdog here and I want to make the underdog better. I'm tired of this company. I don't like the way that they're doing things. Their sales tactics suck. And they're calling me constantly. They're trying to get my listing. This is why I don't cold call. I can't stand it. I get cold calls every day. And I'm like, stop calling me. I don't even answer my phone anymore. Maybe this is what's happening when you're cold calling all the time. I know it works, guys. I know it works. But I'm not going to do it. It's just the way I do my business. And you do yours, I'll do mine. But don't be surprised when people don't answer the phone or like, hey, I don't want these people coming in because they called me 1,000 times when my listing expired, right? It's like, or something crazy like that. Or they're just like, oh, I'm selling a house down the street. When are you going to sell your house? Call them every week. Are you going to sell your house now? I mean, I'm not going to sell for 15 years, right? Leave me alone. Stop calling me. That's what causes the problems.
I had a listing expire like about a year ago and the seller is still getting phone calls. And there's agents out there that said, oh yeah, that's like, I'd be the person calling. And I see the seller all the time. And they're like, oh, another a-hole is still calling me.
Yeah.
And I told them if they have a buyer, they would have brought them when they were on the market.
Exactly.
And if not, I'll give them your number and you can work out the deal with my agent.
Yeah. So. I love that script they use, right? It's cold call. It says expired. Hey, so-and-so, I have a buyer for your property. Oh, you have a buyer for my property. Then why didn't you bring them for the 4 months that was on the market? Why didn't you bring them then if you have a buyer? So don't listen to the stupid scripts and, you know.
One of the other commenters said, will they let the agent write an offer? And they said, no, they don't even want an offer from them. So
that's amazing.
Clearly, you know, bad blood. Be interesting. I'd like to know a follow-up of like what ends up happening.
I'd be like, write your offer, but we're not going to choose it. We'll use it.
Yeah, right? There you go. We won't choose it, but we'll use it.
Yeah.
Well, let us know your thoughts in the comments section down below. Whichever, like if you are slighted by a realtor, like they cut you off and then you see their bumper sticker, you like write it down. Yeah. You're like, all right, not going to sell to this agent.
I'm sure it happens all the time, man.
All right, Sean, let's move on to in or out. Whether you are in or out and in a property around the United States. This is on Fox Hall Road in Washington, D.C., listed for $1.195, basically $2 million. This is the freak of Fox Hall, as some internet commenters have called it. So let me introduce you to quite an interesting property here on Fox Hall Road. This is 1452 Fox Hall, 3-bed, 5-bath, 4,300 square feet. It is a stunning residence nestled in the sought-after Georgetown, Foxhall, Village, Palisades neighborhood of D.C., and it stands as a testament to the visionary genius of world-renowned architect Dr. Darvish. Originally a humble shack owned by a prominent TV journalist, Dr. Darvish transformed it into an iconic contemporary masterpiece that has served as his personal sanctuary for decades. Employing a blend of artistic flair and structural innovation, he fashioned a home where every curve and angle evokes awe and admiration. Sean, for $1.995 million, basically $2 million, 3 beds, 5 baths, 4,300 square feet, are you in or out?
Oh, man, this is a tough one, Matt. You know, Foxhall Road is like that exclusive area where prices are just astronomical. So $2 million in a $5 million, $4 million home area. Granted, this is a unique place. I think it's an opportunity for somebody that wants to get into that neighborhood at a lower price, right? I mean, but man, this is, like you said, it's the freak of Foxhall. Do you want to live in the freakish house? Wow, it's kind of stuck right in between.
Take a look at the lot that we're looking on. You know, they pretty much did as much as they could with the width that the lot allows.
Yeah.
You know, you're right on Foxhall. You're right on the main road. And they built a $4,300 square foot house.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of architectural uniqueness on the inside. I'll put it at that.
Uniqueness. I mean, I'm conflicted, Matt. I mean, part of me thinks it's cool. And if I was looking in that area and I was price sensitive and could only go up to $2 million, I might buy this. But being the freak of Foxhall is not my game. The lot is very thin. It's long. I feel like that maybe the people that own the lot next door probably kind of subdivided or knew that this was a double lot and maybe sold this off or built this at one point. I don't know. I don't know the history of it, but I feel like this would drive me crazy after a while. I like it in some ways. I could be convinced to do it, but for right now, I'm going to pass.
You're going to pass.
Yeah.
It seemed like you had to work. You had to talk your way through
that. I did.
One.
I had to You're talk my way through it because it's neat in some ways, but in the other ways, it's completely weird.
Yeah. You know, I like the architecture of it. They say one car garage. I guess you just pull in. I don't know if there's maybe a port. The lot is kind of cool. The arch is kind of cool. I'm out. Reason I'm out is I feel like I'd have to redo everything. And I'm not someone who looks at something from 2005 and says, oh gosh, everything is horrible. We need to redo it. But this is just giving me like kind of Amtrak kitchen vibes or train or plane kitchen, and not in a good way. You know, I think I would just have to redo all the kitchens, all the, like, this blood red bathroom just doesn't
very
do it for me.
Particular style. Now the outdoors, that's
the
cool.
The outdoors, nice.
That outdoor space.
$2 million, you get an unfinished basement.
Yeah.
It's just not doing it for me. I will take my $2 million and put it somewhere else, but it's not going to be on Foxhall.
Yep. So I agree.
Let us know your thoughts in the comment section below if you're in or out on the freak of Foxhall. Well, for Sean and myself, thank you so much for watching. Until next time, we'll see you then.
Take care.